Gateway Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
In the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
Yeah, people wonder a lot about the new evangelization.
You're re-evangelizing the de-Christianized.
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
The vast number of Catholics have been sacramentalized but not evangelized.
I'm talking about God, the devil, hell, heaven!
To be Catholic is to evangelize.
He's absolutely right.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Al, it's always a joy to be with you.
What is your quest?
Build the church, bless the nation.
We are go for launch.
10, 9.
I just want to tell you both, good luck. We're all counting on you.
Let's do this.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta, back for another hour, talking about the things that matter most, including the encyclical that divided American Catholics, Humanae Vitae, 1968, I think July 25th, 1968. I wanted to talk about it yesterday, but ran out of time. There's a prophetic quality to this encyclical, which, in fact, Monsignor Charles Pope, who is joining us tomorrow, wrote a piece on Humanae Vitae six or so years ago, noting its prophetic quality. Dr. Janet Smith, in her work on Humanae Vitae, has pointed this out. And I often speak on it when I'm out talking about the world's debt to the Catholic Church. I'd like to point out that within the Catholic Church, the papacy functions as a prophetic figure. The Vicar of Christ is not to be played with. And if you look at Humanae Vitae and what it warned against, and you look at what we're living with today, you'll be shocked at the accuracy of the Pope's projections. So I want to talk specifically about those projections, but I also want to do it in the context of a recent Washington Post column by Erica Geis, or Geis, G-I-E-S, in which she's letting us all know she's not going to be birthing any children herself because it's terrible for the environment. But then she also begins to talk about government coercion at one point. And I want to share that with you, too, because many times this is not just a matter of people not wanting children. It becomes a matter of people wanting a state in which they don't want you to have children. So that'll come up too. But first, we're going to go to today's headlines with Steve Clark, sitting in.
Thank you, Al. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Tuesday, July 28th. Saint of the day is Leopold Mandy. And today's news is brought to you by the St. Gregory Center for Drug and Alcohol Rehab at stgregoryctr.com. The Center for Medical Progress has released the third in a series of undercover videos exposing the sale of fetal tissue by Planned Parenthood abortion clinics. The latest video includes footage showing the dismembered body of an aborted baby from which technicians are preparing to harvest desired parts. As the technicians discussed how many different tissue samples can be harvested, Savita Ginn, the medical director of Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains, says, quote, "I think the per item thing works a little bit better just because we can see how much we can get out of it." End quote. The undercover videos have produced public pressure for government investigations into Planned Parenthood and an end to taxpayer funding of the organization. Pro-life activists organized rallies at 60 different locations across the country today, demanding a government response to the apparent violation of laws against trafficking in fetal tissue. Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, Stem Cell Express has sought a court injunction against the release of the undercover videos. Overturning a lower court decision, a three-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the state of Washington may compel pharmacies to dispense the morning-after pill, which may work as a contraceptive or as an abortifacient. Judge Susan Graber wrote, quote, speed is particularly important considering the time-sensitive nature of emergency contraception and many other medications, end quote. State Attorney General Bob Ferguson called the decision a major victory for the people of Washington. Puerto Rican community leaders were joined by New York officials in calling on the federal government to step in and resolve the Puerto Rican debt crisis. Luis Gardan Acosta, founder and president of the community group El Puente, says Puerto Ricans are not seeking anything special, just their right as American citizens.
It is inappropriate not to offer Puerto Rico the very rights that Detroit has, that any city, any major community in the United States has.
The Commonwealth is facing a $72 billion debt. By law, it cannot declare bankruptcy nor negotiate with its hedge fund creditors. The activists and elected officials are calling on the federal government to provide relief. And the Greek stock market is set to reopen this week after a month-long shutdown. The Athens Stock Exchange stopped trading June 29th as the government closed banks while the country narrowly avoided financial collapse. Greek officials said today the stock market will reopen Wednesday or Thursday. The move comes after Greece assured the European central banks that investors would not pull money out of banks to buy shares of bonds, putting an even bigger strain on the country's financial institutions. And now for your fascinating fact for the day, female mosquitoes can hear. Filling in for Nick Tom, Steve Clark, Ave Maria Radio News.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. I mentioned earlier this Washington Post column by Erica Gies, and it first got my attention just because of the headline, having kids is terrible for the environment, so I'm not having any. And then she tries to link population explosion and climate change, and she says, I want to do my part, which in her mind means not having any children. Well, it's her choice, right? I don't think anybody would think people should be forced to have children. So that's on our part, coercion, you know, those of us who are pro-life, pro-family, and welcome large families as well as small families. I think for us, no, I don't know anybody who thinks the government should be used to coerce people to have children. In fact, the idea is utterly absurd. I think there's a novel by the Canadian novelist Margaret Atwood many years ago called A Handmaid's Tale, where there may have been some silly posturing about Christians who would want the state to force people to have children. But that's never, to my, I've never even heard this seriously discussed. But, you know, on the other side, there are people who think that the state should be used to tell us we can't have children or to limit the number of children. And I'm not claiming this is sitting there in Washington now, but I'm talking about a certain mentality that comes up. And I'll tell you, it's right in this column that Erica Gies writes in. She says, in his classic treatise on liberty, John Stuart Mill argued that your right to do what you want ends at the point of what it infringes on someone's when it infringes on someone else's rights. And then she says, I'd argue that given our extreme population, having more than two kids, the replacement level for a couple, is impinging upon other people's liberty by using their share of resources. Now, she actually goes on to say that this is one of those things a serious society ought to consider. It's an obligation we have to the next generation. Now, once you begin to think that that's a societal obligation, it's only one short step to believing it's the state's responsibility to fulfill that obligation, to limit population. So, we look at what's happened in China with the one-child policy. And we know of instances around the world, especially European nations, where now the government is getting involved because they want more children. They understand the problems of depopulation. But this is all anticipated by Pope Paul VI in his encyclical Humanae Vitae. Probably, when you think about the timing of it, 1968 is right at the time that the sexual revolution is hunkering down, and it's not going away. And it'll come to fruition in the 1970s, and that's when we also have the divorce revolution beginning. But think about it. 1968, if you were God, when would you have chosen that encyclical to come out? Was that a good time for it to come out, a prophetic moment for it to come out? Or do you wish, gee, I should have done that 10 years before? I'm making somewhat light of this because, of course, none of us can answer it. It came when it came. It's like the Second Vatican Council. Was that the best time to call a council as Western society was going through on the brink of such radical changes? Well, you can answer both ways. You can say, oh, it's a terrible time because people are going to misunderstand the council. Or you can say it was a great time because without calling the council, who knows what damage the world culture would have infringed upon the Catholic Church. So you can answer it both ways. But nevertheless, 1968... guaranteed that Catholics would be mocked. There's no doubt about that. The sexual revolution is, you know, growing to its peak, and all of a sudden the Roman Catholic Pope comes out and says no artificial contraception. Wow. That was a prophetic call if there's ever been one. Now, what's happened since that time? Remember, I remember some of these promises. Happier marriages, lower divorce rates, right? There'd be fewer unwanted children. Greater dignity for women who wouldn't be prisoners to their own biology anymore. That's what we were promised. Those who were contraception advocates, that's what they offered. They, again, lower divorce rates since couples could, you know, have all the physical involvement without worry of pregnancy or fear of more children. Promised a lower abortion rate. Abortion was illegal at the time, but people were still concerned about abortion. Lower abortion rates since there'd be fewer unwanted children, right? There'd be greater dignity for women because they'd no longer be bound by their reproductive system. Now, there also eventually it was used as a way of stopping STDs as well. You'd have less STDs. Now, some of these things are laid out by Monsignor Charles Pope in a piece he has called The Wisdom of Humanae Vitae. Those are the promises of contraception advocates. What were the things that Pope Paul VI was concerned about? He said, and this is in number 17, consider how easily this course of action could open wide the door to marital infidelity. Okay, so instead of making marriages happier and making people more faithful, he said this could just as easily lead to greater infidelity for fear of, you know, people won't get pregnant, right? So you don't have to, you know, an adulterous affair need not ever produce children. So maybe you can commit more adulteries. That's what he warned against. Consider how easily this course of action could open wide the way for marital infidelity. Two, he talked about a general lowering of moral standards. Well, you don't need to look around too much to see how different at least sexual morality is today than it was back in 1968. Number three, another effect that he warned against is that a man who grows accustomed to the use of contraceptive methods may forget the reverence due to a woman and disregards her physical and emotional equilibrium, reduces her to a mere instrument for the satisfaction of his own desires, right? And then lastly, he warned against public authorities from imposing contraceptive use on everyone. In other words, limiting the number of children, as we've seen in China and other states. So think about that. Who was right and who was wrong? The divorce rate did not decline. it skyrocketed. We were promised again contraception would make marriages happier. Divorce rate would not grow, but it grew. It skyrocketed right through the 1970s up to the 1990s. Secondly, abortion rates certainly increased. Of course, what you ended up with was legal abortion within a few years, within 5 years. So this is a little hard to measure. But we do know this. Abortion rates did not decrease. Then you have the question of women's dignity. Now, that's always hard to measure. Different people have different measures for this. Women certainly do exercise greater and more creative career choices these days. But, you know, how I don't, you know, I leave it up to individual women to tell me the degree to which they feel that their dignity has been enhanced by being a greater contributor in economic matters or being more valuable in the workplace. What we do know is that motherhood has taken a real backseat, at least in popular culture. So you don't see too many movies applauding the calling of motherhood. There's lots of movies applauding what I call the sterile virgin. Excuse me, the sterile loose woman. You have the fruitful virgin. She's not emphasized any longer. You know, the chaste, reverent woman who understands her body and who lives in a society in which men understand the mystery of reproduction and its housing within a woman. What we have now, we have the celebration of the sterile, loose woman. You know, the woman who's, quote, hot. And everybody, young girls growing up, long to be hot. It's like a baboon is hot. As for preventing STDs and AIDS, big failure. Contraception certainly didn't do that. And then you also have the rise in teen pregnancy rates. So contraception didn't help there as well. And in fact, what's happened is we do have declining birth rates. So all the fear about population explosion. Look, we've been handling growth in population through genius in agricultural production, the Green Revolution, as they call it. And in fact, in many areas of the world, there are declining birth rates. But unfortunately, those declining birth rates are often in countries that need more children. Let's talk about it. What do you think? 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. What can you do to help people hear the prophetic message of Paul VI? Give me a few ideas.
Do you wonder how best to love someone questioning their sexual identity or people like me who live with same-sex attraction? Hi, my name is Dan Mattson, and I would like to invite you to attend a conference in Detroit on pastoral approaches to same-sex issues. It will be held on August 10th to 12th and features a stellar lineup of nearly 30 speakers, including Dr. Janet Smith, Father John Ricardo, Teresa Tomeo, and many more. For more information, go to CourageRC.org. That's CourageRC.org.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Underwriting by Ignatius Press.
Pope Francis' document, Praise Be to You, on Care for Our Common Home, should be received by all peoples as a guide for taking care of the earth we all share. Francis beautifully connects creation with its creator, challenging us to base our ecological responsibility on love for what God has made and given to us. He implores the proper use of natural resources and calls for a change of heart and way of life. Pre-order your hardbound copy from Ignatius Press at 800-651-1531 or Ignatius.com.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS to show you just how easy it is to donate. That's 866-628-CARS. And mention Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popcha.
Hey, dads. Would you like your kids to own your Catholic faith when they grow up? Well, guess what? You have a lot to do with whether or not that happens. New research published in the book Faith and Family from Oxford University Press observes that the presence of a prayerful, affectionate dad who's actively involved in the life of his family is the single most important predictor of whether or not the children will grow up to be faithful. By all means, we dads should teach our kids how to pray and worship, and we should fill their minds with the facts of the faith. But we also have to show our children how to open their hearts to the faith, and we do that by opening up our hearts to our kids and letting God's love pour out. The best catechism might just be dad's willingness to be a hugger, to spend one-on-one time with our kids, and to be willing to really listen when they want to talk. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
And good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta, thanking you for being with me. Our number is 1-877-573-7825. You know, the research that's been done on this, that is the here, let me go over the four things again, just if you just joined us. Talking about Humanae Vitae as a prophetic document. Saturday was the anniversary of its release in 1968. But you've got roughly four, you might call them prophecies or predictions anyways. You've got the prediction that, number one, artificial contraception would generally lower moral standards throughout society. He got that one right. Number two, there'd be a rise in infidelity contributing to divorce. He got that one right. Three, a lessening of respect for women by men. This one's a little harder to measure, but I think most of us would think that the diminished respect for the calling of motherhood and the increased fascination with being an infertile hot woman would be not positive. There are other things that women can point to, though, that are positives in the last generation for them. But I think the image of the infertile hot woman is what dominates in the minds of many, many young women. And I think motherhood, on the other hand, doesn't look nearly as attractive as it once did. Now, people grow out of that, so that's another thing, too. I've seen, even in my own generation, I've seen this change a great deal. When I was in college, motherhood was, thumbs down. today, the calling of motherhood, at least in Christian circles, has really been elevated to even to where it was before the sexual revolution. Before the sexual revolution was largely taken for granted. Now, Christian women in particular really understand motherhood as a calling, and fathers are coming to realize fatherhood is an equal calling. So, general lowering of moral standards is what he predicted. A rise in infidelity leading to divorce, he predicted that. A lessening of respect for women by men. I think that certainly can argue that that's happened. And lastly, the coercive use of reproductive technologies by governments. And we have seen that. We've seen it in the amount of some groups as outrageous as People's Republic of China with their one-child policy. But we see it funny on the other end of it, where we see that nations like Russia and I believe France are trying to encourage, through all kinds of cash awards or gifts, trying to encourage people to have more children. And it's never a good thing when Caesar takes responsibility for the family, you know? 1-877-573-7825. Let's go to Martha in Northeast Ohio, listening on Living Bread Radio. Hello, Martha.
Hi, Al. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
This is what I wanted to tell you. I had graduated from college in 1971. It was a Catholic college, and mm-hmm. I still remember when the decision came down, because I was attending a summer class in theology, and mm-hmm. I remember very well the instructor who simply did not have a chance to read it. I mean, this was before faxes and et cetera.
Right, right.
And he just knew that the decision was against contraception, and he proceeded to just ridicule Paul mm-hmm. VI. And, it was very sad to see this happen, and because he left a lot of students with that impression, basically, and they went on to proceed to instruct. Many of them ended up as high school teachers and positions within the church, and they just continued to degrade Paul VI. But after I had a degree in science, and so when I graduated in 71, I went off for an additional year's training in a field which is called cytotechnology, mm-hmm. C-Y-T-O. And among other things, we analyze pap smears, but among many other things, there's all various body sites. But one of the things I still remember is being away at school like that, there was a lot of influence from the zero population growth
and
Paul Ehrlich's the population bomb, and we're all going to starve. There's too many people. And I'm kind of amused by this because one thinks of the Republicans' war on women, and the president at that time was Richard Nixon, and Title X money was extended so that you had, during that 71-72 school year, where I was in school, which was a large mid-southern city, family planning clinics were just springing up like mushrooms.
Right.
Planned Parenthood was there, but there were many other ones. And basically, the contraceptives were passed out, as I understood, free of charge, but one of the requirements was the patients would come in for an annual visit and receive a pap smear. And the reason for this is we knew that the major carcinoma that was affecting women that you really feared the results of was there was a higher incident rate with sexual promiscuity. You knew that, and yet the whole medical profession just went right along with this.
Right.
And their attitude towards it was, well, they'll be coming in once a year, and we'll watch them.
We'll watch it. Yeah, yeah. We won't tell them about the risky behavior.
And it's and to this day they don't. Even I received something in the mail about a year ago from a healthcare provider, that is an insurance company, talking about the necessity to have annual pap smears, et cetera. And, mm-hmm. and nobody says, live chastely. They tell you to avoid. Right. They tell you to avoid smoking, but and anyway, I just wanted.
No, I think that's excellent. In fact, I wish I had thought of the money that the U.S. government had put into distributing contraceptives, or at least providing easy access to contraceptives. Well, they haven't coerced people to take them. They certainly have forced people to confront them and do their best to make artificial contraception look as just a normal thing to do.
And, you know, you mentioned men disrespecting women, and then you also talked about fascination with being hot,
right.
Quote, hot. I mean, basically, that links up with women have started disrespecting themselves.
Good point. Yeah.
But the coercion is definitely there. We see it, you know, with how we treat other nations, and so on and so forth.
That's true.
But,
that's
you know, what I wanted to tell you about this, because I'm retired now, but I had worked at this for 42 years. And when I was in school, we saw changes in the cells that we knew the cells were abnormal, but there were further changes that you would see in the cells. And it wasn't until later that it was connected with the human papillomavirus.
Oh, isn't that something?
It's fascinating. And to give you an idea, from 72, when I started working in this field, to 2002, you know, 30 years went by before we were able, the hospital I was working at, which was a large hospital and, you know, up to date,
mm-hmm.
before they started sending out specimens to check for the strain of human papillomavirus. So you saw 30 years went by before we really had the mechanism to check for the strain of papillomavirus, which was an indication whether how much in trouble this patient would be,
right.
What kind of follow-up she would need.
But you began seeing changes
in
the cells very early on.
We saw changes way back in 1971, 72, but we just didn't know what they were.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew that there were, we knew that the nuclei were abnormal, but there were changes in the cytoplasm, which we recognized. But at that time, I don't know whether human papillomavirus was being studied in some laboratory someplace and it was just under wraps. You know, they just didn't know then, but that's what it turned out to be. And, you know, further, you have mentioned the business of among men with carcinoma in rectal areas.
Yeah, that's another problem that they don't warn against.
One of the things when you're working in these situations, there's so much regulation, and a hospital has to show that their technologists are being kept abreast with continuing education and so forth. And it's a common experience a common practice to receive test cases as a study. So like about every 2 months or so, we would get a set of slides to look at with the history on them. And about the last year and a half I was working, and I just retired a year ago, we were beginning to see rectal smears.
Yeah, isn't that something?
So it's really an education. And I, you know, as to what to do about this, as I've thought, well, if I went to the local Catholic parish and talked to the Altar Rosary Society, I know what would happen is you would get older women, and they would afterwards sidle up to you and say, you know, tell you about their granddaughter's abnormal pap smear and what she should do. And I'm not qualified to say that, but I think they would not grasp what has been happening. And I thought, well, maybe the best thing to do is talk to the local NFP people.
That's a good place, because they're usually dealing with people going into marriage and rethinking what the nature of the conjugal act is. But you got me thinking here, and it's always a dangerous thing to try to speculate what's possible. But I do think the story you tell is compelling. And one thing you can do is I would suggest you, you know, get it down. Get it down in a few pages and submit it for publication. I think a first-person narrative like that would let people know, especially younger people, that this kind of distortion has been going on for a long time.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile. 5% of your mobile plan price goes to a pro-life or Catholic charity at no additional cost to you. More information can be found at CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Building the Apostolate of the Laity and leading in the new evangelization. Ave Maria Radio joins EWTN in spearheading the recovery of the American Catholic identity and equipping all Catholics to take co-responsibility for Christ's Church.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
In chapter 32 of Exodus, the people God led out of Egypt were worshiping an idol in the image of a golden calf. God wanted to consume them in his wrath and start a new family with Moses. But Moses implored the Lord, "Remember your servants and how you swore to them, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky." The Lord responded to Moses' prayer and relented in mercy. Psalm 103 explains, "As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's mercy toward those who fear him." God's mercy was brought to the ancient Israelites through the intercessory prayer of Moses. Likewise, God calls us today to be intercessors for the church and for the whole world. We can be confident God hears these earnest prayers of our hearts, just as he heard the prayer of Moses. To learn about prayer and scripture, visit the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan on Facebook or at cbsmich.org.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, on top of Mount Tabor, Jesus Christ revealed to his apostles and to us not only his divinity, but the true origins and destiny of the human person.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
If you want to use your gifts and talent to support women and the unborn, contact the Arbor Women Pregnancy Center to volunteer. Arbor Women needs pro-life people to support, nurture, and empower women facing unexpected pregnancies. Arbor Women are in need of nurses and sonographers with a current Michigan license, as well as pregnancy and post-abortion counselors. Call the volunteer coordinator at 734-994-8863. That's 734-994-8863 to learn how you can help.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationship with our Lord, our relationship with the church, the precepts of the church, our relationship with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father John Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from the Catholic perspective on Christ is the answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS to show you just how easy it is to donate. That's 866-628-CARS. And mention Ave Maria Radio.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta, and we're talking Humanae Vitae. And again, 1968, July 25th, 1968, four basic predictions in it that we should all have this down because a lot of people mock this teaching of the church. And I think we should have right at our fingertips the response, which is, well, wait a minute. You know, Humanae Vitae also submitted itself to a test. Pope Paul VI predicted that certain things would come about if, in fact, we continued to use artificial contraception in a big way, and say, look, he predicted there'd be a general lowering of moral standards throughout society. He predicted there'd be a rise in infidelity leading to more divorce. He predicted there'd be a lessening of respect for women by men. And he predicted that there'd be more coercive use of reproductive technologies by governments. And I mentioned China. It was one-child policy, and I don't know how it slipped my mind, but it was brought up in my conversation with Martha. And that is, the United States and Western European nations frequently make acceptance of contraception, or at least try to make acceptance of contraception, and in some cases abortion, a condition for certain types of United Nations assistance or their own personal, their own national assistance. So that is a form of coercion, even in the so-called free democratic capitalist societies. And then we also have the European nations that not so much using coercion, but doing everything but trying to get people to have more children in Russia, and I believe it's France. So that's what we're talking about, and how we can best get this point across to fellow Catholics first. Because if we can't, again, I keep coming back to this, you know, if you can't convince your own people, you're not going to convince the world. So what is the best way to help fellow Catholics see the prophetic dimension of Pope Paul VI's encyclical Humanae Vitae? We'll go to Orlando, Florida right now, where Jamie's been listening on Divine Mercy Radio. Good to have you, Jamie.
Hello, Al.
Hi.
Our church, my wife and I actually led a group that did a study of Humanae Vitae. It was done by Catholic Scripture Study International. That's their information at cssprogram.net.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was a 4-week study. It came with a DVD with additional instruction by Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just an amazingly thorough study that showed that document that always gets called, oh, that's the birth control encyclical, that's the one that said we're supposed to have as many babies as possible.
Yeah.
It went so much further than that. And I, even those of us that were already doing NFP and we already followed the church's teachings, we found a lot more in that Humanae Vitae document than we even suspected.
Yeah. Yeah. What you've said there, I've heard from many people, that when they've actually gone back and read the document itself, rather than assuming that the half a dozen different cliches were sufficiently exhaustive of it, when they actually went back and read it, they were surprised at how rich a document it is and what a great teaching point it is. But the Catholic Scripture Study International is very, very good organization, and I did not realize off the top of my head that they had a 4-week study of Humanae Vitae that you could use for group studies. But that's at cssprogram.net. Very good.
Yeah, I was surprised too, because they do all those Bible studies, and this is one of the few encyclicals that they actually cover. And it's such a short document too.
Yeah.
It's like, what, 8 or 12 pages? But
yeah, it's not very long.
It really is brilliantly prophetic.
Yeah. Jamie, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
The number again is 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. Let's go to Debbie in Scranton, Pennsylvania, listening on 750 AM. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Al. My ears were burning as soon as you started on this topic, because back in the mid-90s, I was a Jehovah's Witness at the time.
Wow, okay.
And going to Planned Parenthood for their services, and by God's providence, somebody gave me an article from a scientific magazine, and I came across an article in there that talked about scientists who were doing studies on cancer cells. They'd gone away for the Christmas holiday, came back to the lab, and their cultures had gone berserk. and after narrowing down all of the variables, come to find out, and they were doing they were doing these studies, and what happened was they narrowed it down to the Petri dish. The formulation of the Petri dish had been changed by their supplier to include non-oxal 9. Hmm. Now, non-oxal 9 is the main ingredient in spermicides.
Hmm.
Now, you put the two of them together, and what happened was this non-oxal 9 acts like a miracle grow on cancer cells, makes them absolutely flourish like nobody's business.
Yeah.
When I read that article, I immediately went to the Planned Parenthood clinic because I knew the director there, and I looked her in the face and I said, do you realize what you're doing? Connect the dots.
Yeah, yeah. What was her response?
She turned sheet white.
Hmm.
Absolutely sheet white. And from that moment on, it was like, okay, my ex-husband's family, and I will absolutely verify to everything in Humanae Vitae because I'm the survivor of spousal rape. And
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Well, you know, by God's mercy, he has gotten me through this to make me realize how absolutely blessed the Catholic Church is to have Humanae Vitae to sound the warning that all of this nonsense that Satan is selling out in the world is absolutely going to destroy people. And the thing that I tell people all the time is, if I had read Humanae Vitae before I got married and known exactly what the church teaches,
mm-hmm.
I would have been so much safer.
Was your husband a Catholic?
He was the only one in his family who left the church and became a Jehovah's Witness. And how I wound up with him. But I was always open to, sound teaching.
Yeah.
I always had, an openness to it.
Well, you know, what's so crazy about this is that, when we talk about Humanae Vitae, we're always concerned about artificial contraception, and that is that that the procreative feature of the marital act is disconnected from the unitive feature, and that we normally think about that, again, in terms of not being able to bear children. So we focus on the life. Life is inhibited. The transmission of new life is inhibited through artificial contraception. But there's another side to this, and that is people can engage in the marital act in a spousal rape situation in which the entire unitive function is destroyed, and all's left is the procreative function. I mean, that's we don't often talk about that. I don't know how common it is, but actually, you can rip these two features apart in different ways. You can stop the procreative function, and you can also stop the unitive function, because spousal rape doesn't increase intimacy between couples. It doesn't.
It was the boulder that got me away from Jehovah's Witnesses. I'll tell you, it was the 2x4 that I needed.
How long did you endure that?
I was married for 20 years, and that was my, shall we say, 20th anniversary present to make sure that my ex-husband maintained his control over me, because for 20 years I was going to the elders with his abuse, and they ignored it. And I actually did an interview for the Catholic radio station here locally, and the sad part is that there are many, many women who are enduring abuse within these closed religious cultures, I'll say.
What did they tell you? I'm just curious how they pastorally tried to minister to you. What did they tell you? These elders, I mean.
They didn't minister to me. It was just control. And the sad part is that my ex-husband is still a member of Jehovah's Witnesses. and I am the quote-unquote, I am the evil one because I joined the Catholic Church. Yeah. And the sad thing is that my sons, the elders, have been exerting constant pressure on my sons to stay away from me because they know that I have the facts behind me.
Right.
And sickly enough, I mean, in a sick enough manner, my ex-husband arrogantly confessed his crime against me, and the elders still would not do anything for me or protect my sons, and they're still telling my sons that in God's eyes, I am a dead person.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. That's got to be extremely painful, especially towards your children. Sometimes religious leaders legitimate and support end up supporting violence, and I just was curious to know if they were actually giving you biblical passages telling you that you had to, you know, endure your husband or even in that situation. But
well, you laugh because I have a bit of Jehu spirit in me. And one elder actually came up to me after I was able to escape from his violence and actually looked me in the face and said, you better pray that Jehovah makes you do what's right. And I basically had smoke coming out of my ears. I said, don't you ever tell me I can't leave abuse. No. And I slammed the Kingdom Hall door. And that's a very hard thing to do because they have very heavy doors.
Big doors.
Yeah.
Debbie, thanks for the call.
God bless. Okay, have a good day, Alex.
You know, that is interesting, though, because when we talk about the infertility or the unfruitfulness of the marital act, we're talking about stopping the procreative function. But Debbie reminds us that there's also another way of splitting the unitive and the procreative dimensions of the conjugal act, and that is to stay open to the procreative act, but to destroy the unitive act. And spousal rape is a good example of that. And anyways, I just... something we don't talk about very often. I don't know how frequent it is, but it's when you hear stories like that, you certainly are dismayed by them. So let me say, let's say we get one last call in here, all right? Let's go to Christina in Butte, Montana. You're up, Christina.
Hello, Al. This goes back to the original question, basically, that was proposed mm-hmm. by the world to the church. And the world asked the question of the church, because of the pill being able to sustain a woman in a state of perpetual either prepubescent sterility in essence, or postmenopausal.
Christina, I'm afraid we're going to end up without the time to deal with this. Would you call me again when we can
yes.
go? Because this, I think where you're going is going to take some time anyways to kind of unfold it. But... I'm sorry that the clock is running out. Thank you. Do call back and let the screener know that we had talked before, okay? I'm Al Cresta. Be back in a moment.
Underwriting by Ignatius Press.
Pope Francis' document, Praise Be to You, on Care for Our Common Home, should be received by all peoples as a guide for taking care of the earth we all share. Francis beautifully connects creation with its creator, challenging us to base our ecological responsibility on love for what God has made and given to us. He implores the proper use of natural resources and calls for a change of heart and way of life. Pre-order your hardbound copy from Ignatius Press at 800-651-1531 or ignatius.com.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. Come celebrate our Father's merciful love with celebrant Father Ben Ludke at the Sunday Mass honoring God, the Father of all mankind, Sunday, August 2nd at St. Lawrence of Utica Catholic Church. Refreshments and fellowship next door at the Knights of Columbus Hall following the liturgy. For more information, call 248-312-6554. Don't miss the Dearborn Area Right to Life Focus on Life Dinner Thursday, August 6th at O'Kelly Banquet Hall in Dearborn. Guest speaker Ms. Trayvon Clifton will share her experience of conversion to the pro-life mentality. To reserve your place, call 313-274-7000. 6237. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
Detroit's premier church festival is coming soon. The annual Pierogi Festival will be serving delicious pierogi dinners and Polish dinners prepared by Polish Village. Live music by Pan Franek and Zosia, the Steve Jiwitzki Band, Misty Blues, and the Coachman. There will be entertainment by dance troupes and many other activities to enjoy. The Pierogi Festival is August 8th and 9th from noon to 8 at Sweetest Heart of Mary Church on Russell and Canfield, two blocks north of Eastern Market.
Well, thank you much. It's been good talking about this topic with you today. Again, Paul VI had it right. We've seen a decline in morality. We've seen a lower view of women. We've seen the rise of coercion. We've seen greater rise in infidelity leading to divorce. He nailed it on all four points. I'll be back with you tomorrow for another edition of this thing we call Cresta in the Afternoon. Monsignor Charles Pope will be joining me talking about how to better speak on to same-sex couples and people with same-sex attraction. I'll also be spending time with Dr. Peter Williamson. I'm going to have an hour where we'll go over the book of Revelation and try to show how wonderfully structured it is. It's not just a stream of consciousness, vision after vision. There's actually a well-constructed literary structure to it, and we'll go over that with him tomorrow. I'm Al Cresta. Thanks for being here. Bye-bye.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. The executive producer is Nick Tom. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMaria Radio.net. To listen to this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, visit the audio archives at AveMariaRadio.net. Or to order a CD of the program, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Tired of expensive and immoral health insurance? CMF Curo is the first of its kind Catholic healthcare sharing experience. It's affordable, Christ-centered healthcare and is faithful to church teachings. It provides access to medical care that protects your religious liberty and respects the gospel of life. Live your faith, choose life, and join CMF Curo today. CMF Curo empowers families to experience Christ in their healthcare. Alleluia. That's CMFCURO.com.
Hi, Deacon Tom here with a reminder that Ave Maria Radio has some terrific gift ideas for you. Books by our hosts and our guests, recordings on CD, and our new Wi-Fi radios so you can listen to Catholic radio anywhere in the world, anytime you want, as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection. Just go to our website and click the word store in the navigation bar at the top of the page. It's an easy way to shop, and you can help Catholic Radio at the same time. The website can be found at AveMariaRadio.net.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS.